Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Thursday edition. Some star power on today's program. And I'm not talking about old boy or me or Jesse shaping the young minds of Bradley University students. I'm talking about Mike Tannenbaum, scheduled to appear at 9:30, and Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell, scheduled to appear at 11 edition. I'm Wilde and Tosh. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video most of the time. Twitter, I see it. It's there today. Facebook? Gotta get that fixed. And of course, always on YouTube, both the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison channels. And of course, now on the all new, all redesigned, all free, all customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Your state, your teams, your ESPN. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is back from his whatever it was, because there are some of us on the panel who think that Pablo Iglesias was invited and you invited yourself.
And yeah, that's me, Jesse. Just for full transparency, it's 100% me that feels that way.
It's not just you. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jason. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. Jesse?
Hey, guys.
Why do you have like what looks like it would be a basketball jersey? Are you hanging your shirt back there to like let us know that it's game day? And you're going to slouch around on our show, but then when it gets to be pushing time, you're going to go button up? Or why are you hanging that back there like it's a trophy?
I'm not hanging it back there like it's a trophy. I had to do some
Jesse,
television.
Jesse, did that not look like it was you're hanging your clothes, you're getting into game day gear, and then you're going to, like Al Harris, that would be Al for post-game interviews. That's what that looked like.
It seemed like it was begging us to ask him about it.
100%.
The way it was placed behind him, it
seemed
like it was.
He doesn't do anything unintentional. This is Jason Wilde is an intentional dude.
Not in this case.
That's why he minces words, and he is very intentional with how he breaks down transcripts.
Don't miss
words. This word is very definitive. That shirt tells me you got big plans today. That's what that shirt tells me.
No, it tells you that I appeared on the 4 o'clock news on WISC TV3 yesterday.
Oh.
Had some technical glitches that made me look like an idiot. So I tried to I tried to overcome them. I'm not sure I did a good job of it, but I'm having a great time. They've got a great team over there. It's awesome to be part of it. But I can't go on television with a hat and a hoodie. So okay. that I don't as you may know about me, I do not walk around in my Vineyard Vine $16 shirt that I got off Poshmark.
Vineyard Vine shirt for $16.
I did.
That's Jim Nantz stuff.
Yeah, no. Pre-owned. I could show you the receipt, bro. I'm a bargain hunter. Okay. So, but I don't walk
around.
You
don't bargain hunt socks and underpants, do you?
I do not have pre-owned socks or underwear, no. I don't. Okay. But pretty much everything else. Shoes, it's anyway.
Hangers.
But I don't know.
Is that hanger for sale?
Someone else has.
Are you trying to sell that hanger or not?
10 cents. So I did the segment, and then I obviously wanted to change back into my normal clothing, which is hoodie, shorts, hat. And I forgot that I hung it there because at the time I thought, I'm doing this again tomorrow, so I'll just leave the shirt there. But then I thought, well, I got to find a different shirt. Can't wear the same shirt.
Not buying the story.
Okay. Well, you're entitled to that, but I don't see why I would intentionally bring this conversation onto myself.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm
not sure. Because I did it.
All right, so Jesse,
what did you wear?
How many panels were you on yesterday? Did you actually go to both panels, or were you like,
all right,
I have to go to one because I drove down to Peoria?
So let's clarify a couple of things here. So the panels were Tuesday. Sure. At Bradley University, the sports communication program. Yes, we drove back yesterday. I had to get breakfast and whatnot, so I missed the show. I listened all the way back from
You took 2 days off for a one-day
panel?
That's
a new one.
Yeah.
Anyone even on it?
I don't even work here. I didn't even go to school here. That's what makes this so hard.
So to answer your question, zero panels yesterday. One panel on Tuesday. So we rolled into town. The sports communication program at Bradley University, it's the Charlie Steiner School of Sports Communication, named after former ESPN Sports Center anchor.
Love him.
Voice of the Dodgers, Charlie
Great
Steiner.
Anchor. Yes. One of the GOATs.
One of the GOATs, one of the OGs of ESPN, Charlie
Francis
Steiner.
Scott off key.
Bradley University alum, Charlie Steiner. So they have this event every year called the Steiner Symposium, where they bring in various people of the industry from all around the country to speak on a number of different subjects. So there were four panels on Tuesday. One of them was on sports betting, which was very fascinating to sit into and listen about all the different aspects of sports betting and how it's influenced how we cover sports, how athletes go about their lives in the world of sports. It's very, very interesting stuff. The second panel, which I was on, was Steiner Success Stories, featuring Bradley alums of the sports communication program who have gone on to be successful titans of the industry.
I'm sorry, what were you considered?
A titan. Number one pick. Titan of the industry.
Question.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
How many chairs were there set, and did you end up getting like one of those slide a chair in late because you weren't actually invited to be on the panel?
So it is interesting that the first panel had three. The third panel in the afternoon, which was about AI in sports, which, Tausch, I should have recorded.
Oh, I would have loved that.
I should have recorded it for you. There was a lot of interesting stuff that came from that one.
Is it scary?
Not scary. Really interesting how there's Division I college football programs holding, like, film sessions with virtual holograms that simulate the offense, like in a full size field room. They project the holograms, and that's how you do film study for some of these. It's incredible. There were three on that panel. I believe there were three on the final panel. There were five for our panel, which makes it seem like there may have been one or two late additions.
Okay, so I'm not sitting here saying that you weren't invited. But you weren't invited to this. You didn't get emailed. You didn't have a chair. Did they have a name tag for you?
I did have a name card, yes. I did have a name card.
Did you draw it yourself?
My name is, and then you had to write it.
Did you draw it yourself?
I did not draw it myself. I did not come with it just in case. I was not. They had a nice little thing when you walked in the front door of the Global Communications Center on campus, and they had little headshots of everybody involved on the panels. I was on that, So I was definitely included there. So it was a hit and miss whether I was officially invited or not. But we made our way up onto the stage. There was plenty of room for me. And we had what was shared after the fact as one of the most fun panels that they said they've ever had at the Steiner Symposium.
Who said they did?
Some of the instructors.
A lot of people.
They took us out for a nice dinner in the evening after all the panels were done. We had a nice night, and they said this was one of the most fun ones they'd ever had, having all of us there
hearing
the success stories that we had. It was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
That's great.
All right. So, first
kudos
of all.
Kudos to you, Jesse.
Thanks, Tausch.
Yes. Kudos to you. You took 2 days to appear on one panel. Well done.
Yeah.
The ironic part of that is, it's great. We obviously want ESPN Madison to continue to grow and all that. So we already had representation down there in Pablo.
We did, yes. Pablo graduated.
Who got the emails?
He graduated a couple of years after me.
Who actually was invited.
Yep.
Steiner offered to fly him down.
Yeah, he did.
And you forced him to drive.
Yep.
And then stop at some greasy spoon so you could miss another day of work.
Oglesby.
That's, in essence, what happened.
Gas station in Oglesby. It's like one of those stops where it's got like everything you need. And it had all this construction gear, Bears and Cowboys themed. On one of the like, what are we doing? Anyway, side story. You were about to ask a question,
sounds
Jason.
Like it.
Yeah. I was. Who were the other titans of the industry that were on these panels, so I can get an idea of where you, since you like to tear people, I would like to know what tier of titans you were in.
I would love to know where Jesse views himself. On the Titan hood, on that panel, there's five people, which there was only supposed to be three.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you tier yourself on that panel?
Great question. One was still a student. She's going to be graduating soon, but she's been so successful, they felt she deserved, and she definitely earned and deserved to be on the panel. She was more involved than anything I was ever in school. So.
She's like their Chrissy Birdsall.
Yeah, so she was like tier one Delaney. It was her name. Tier one Titan
tier one Delaney
for sure.
Did Pablo's Chrissy get invited too, and didn't let her
Chrissy
go?
Chrissy did not go to Bradley University.
Okay.
She would not be a Steiner success story. She would be a success story from whatever it is here in Madison.
Vilas Hall, yeah.
Pablo, we're all tier one success stories. You're like, Miguel is a video production guy for the Big Ten Network, so he zooms all around the greater Midwest, a lot of time in Chicago with the Chicago Fire MLS team. He was doing video production with them. A lot of great experience there. Pablo, of course, in TV and now here at ESPN Wisconsin, doing all he does with digital media and hosting shows. There was me. There was one other who was pursuing her master's, I believe, and looking more on the like educational side of the industry. So it was a little... It was a good variety of a bunch of different people who were featured, I'd say.
Was Charlie Steiner there?
Spice of life.
Charlie's been there just about every year, I believe, that they've had it.
Then he heard you were coming.
This was the 10th year, the 8th one. They canceled it twice because of the pandemic. Charlie was unable to make it this year. He did record a really nice message that was played for everybody before the first panel got started. So his influence was definitely strongly felt throughout the entire
Who is the Mount Rushmore of SportsCenter anchors? I would argue, I think the guarantees are DP and Stuart Scott.
Yeah, Stuart Scott
Those
is
two
number
are lock
one.
Stock.
Yeah.
No, DP's number one. Stuart's two.
Rich Eisen?
Craig Kilborn?
Maybe. Too short of a time frame.
John Anderson, our teammate?
Definitely not.
Yeah, maybe.
You got to have SVP. They rebranded SportsCenter
like
to be just
golf.
Him.
Yeah, I feel like he's golf. But, yeah, I think you're right. SVP he has stayed the course, man. Pun intended. SVP's on it. You're right, Jell. Three. So we got three. We need
Jell.
A fourth.
That's a new one.
The power rankings of all-time SportsCenter anchors. There are some pretty big names that we've already left out, so we'll have to work on that. I want to get to someone who appears on SportsCenter and Get Up and unsportsmanlike and everything else, Mike Tannenbaum. He's scheduled to appear on our show at 9:30. So let's talk a little bit about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin before we list our Sports Center anchors.
Well, very excited. We just got all of our assignments for the draft next week. We had a call yesterday. We're excited. A lot of buzz about the draft up in Green Bay. There's stuff built. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people. But you know what? You're not going to find a draft seeping through Pella's windows and doors. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick because right now you take advantage of no interest financing options, or you can get that free glass upgrade. Their talented designers and installers can match your home's unique decor through seamless customizations. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends on April 30th, so place your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Bleacher Report did a power rankings of the all-time greatest SportsCenter anchors.
Yeah, DP's one, right?
I'll tell you who's number one.
Oh, teaser. Jesse, go to break. Go to break.
and who's number two, who's very close to our hearts, next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone.
This is not a comprehensive list, obviously. A couple of the highlights from Bleacher Report's top 25 SportsCenter anchors. This also appears to be a bit outdated. 2019 it was posted, so I don't know. I don't watch a lot of SportsCenter.
I can't even tell you outside of SVP, like, who are the anchors now?
I don't know. I don't, honestly.
Randy Scott.
Some names of notes. Greg Gumbel at number 23. Friend of show,
like Stone Ages.
Chris Fowler at 22. Wow.
He was an anchor?
He was. 1989 through 1993. Okay. Then he went to game day and everything else. Steve Levy, 19th.
Leaves.
Carl Ravitch.
Rav.
Are you going to do this for the whole thing?
I hope so.
Maybe.
Neil
Maybe.
Everett, 16. Underrated,
he's funny.
In my opinion.
He's a witty guy.
I always liked Larry Beal. He's not on the list. Charlie Steiner, 15.
Yeah, 15.
Should Chris, be higher. Chris Berman is 13 on this list. He's,
well,
he's kind of polarizing. I think he anchored a lot back
in
the
day. I don't know how much he SportsCenter anchored. He's been an NFL guy for years.
In fact, he probably had this music playing behind his highlights, if I recall correctly.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Craig Kilborn, 12. John Buchagras, 11.
Let me tell you something. There's no world Craig Kilborn is going to be ahead of Chris Berman. There's not.
All right. Here's the top 10. Again, according to Bleacher Report. Susie Colbert, 10. Trey Wingo, friend of show, 9.
Oh,
Scott
Traister.
Van Pelt, 8.
No.
Keith Olbermann, 7. Stuart Scott, only 6.
No.
Stuart Scott's 2 at the worst.
Linda Cohn, 5.
Yeah, she's top 5.
Now, here's the guy I would argue for being higher than he was maybe thought of in our little group as we were throwing out names.
Sure.
Kenny Mayne. Kenny Mayne, 4.
Yeah, he was a polarizing guy, though. You know, some people loved him because he had a different kind of sense of humor.
He did.
So,
that's fair.
I get that.
Rich Eisen, 3.
Okay.
John Anderson, 2.
Yeah, I think John Anderson's longevity, that is not an easy. I mean, 25 years, I believe.
Yeah, he's one of the GOATs.
Right?
There's no doubt. He belongs
in the top
5 for sure.
So he's going to be 4 for me. I'm going to put him at 4.
And number one, as you have already stated, Dan Patrick.
Yeah, there's nobody close. DP is 1.
There's your list.
No doubt about it.
Did we miss anyone?
SVP, I'm sorry. SVP has to be in that equation. He has to.
I'm bumping Kenny Mayne for SVP.
Yeah, 100%. And I like Kenny. Kenny's been on the show a lot more than SVP. Kenny's the guy, but not in this case.
I'm not sure. There are some prominent names. I've got some. Apparently, this is a very popular thing to rank because there's a lot of different options. Interestingly enough, Bob Lee was left off of that
list. Yeah, he was
great. Yeah, he
was more of an outside the lines guy. He's more. He has chops. He's a chops guy, like journalistic chops.
Bob Lee featured panelist at the Steiner Symposium a few years ago.
Ah. Bob Lee. Okay.
Bob Lee and Jesse Nelson. Two peas in a pod.
Titans. Robin Roberts also. I personally enjoy her work on GMA.
That's who you listen to prep for the show.
That's exactly
so
what
it's tough,
I do.
It's tough to do some of these based on like just their SportsCenter work versus what else. Because Berman is like one of the top ESPN guys of all time.
Jesse, we're not ranking ESPN personalities. We are ranking SportsCenter anchors.
Right.
We left Reese Davis off the list.
And College Game Day,
he's
not
a
SportsCenter.
College Game Day guy. Okay, what are you known for? What are you known for? Stewart and DP both known for being the anchors. That's what they're known for.
Okay, fair. John Anderson, known for being an anchor.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Linda.
All right. These are all fair.
Linda
critiques.
Cohn's hockey to me. She's a hockey gal.
No, Steve Levy's a hockey person.
Now, Linda's more hockey than Levy, in my opinion. Total rink gal. She's a rink gal.
A rink gal. Yeah. As I go through here, a few other people that probably your guy, Mike Tirico, but you don't think of him from his anchoring days.
He's
is play what
by
you're telling
play.
Me.
No, he's a. He's a PXP.
Okay, well, again, he was an anchor for a significant piece
great.
Of his career.
But he's a PXP.
Chris McKendry, she is in that group of...
tennis. She's tennis.
John Anderson.
You can have a specialty and still be a anchor.
Now, not if you want to Rushmore yourself as... Like, SVP has done this so long and has done his show. Even though he's golf guy, he is... Sports Center
the
guy.
First
he
thing
is
you
the gold
said,
standard in Sports
when
Center.
When we said SVP, the first thing he says, nah, he's a golf guy. And now you're changing your tune on him.
I forgot that he does the Sports Center out of D.C. every night. Like, I have to adjust.
How did you forget that?
He's the only guy.
I don't know. But
he's the only guy that's ever had a Sports Center named for him.
He's got his own logo.
That's why he's on the Mount Rushmore. You guys are arguing my point for me. Thank you.
But you didn't have him on the list moments ago.
Initially.
But you're just going to dismiss Linda because
like
she's a rink
going to the
gal.
Final four if they went through Milwaukee.
Chris McKenzie. Nah, tennis.
She's a tennis gal. Yeah.
Michael Kim. Larry Beal made the list. Tom Meese. One of the
RIP,
people,
Tom.
Yeah. One of the people that I forgot that was old school. If you're an old school SportsCenter fan, Gail. What was her name? Gail.
You forgot too.
Gail Gardner. That's who it was. She was. I remember her when I was coming up.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. This Mount Rushmore, there's a lot of subjectivity with Mount Rushmore.
Jack
Edwards. And
it's
not Mount Rushmore season yet.
Robert Flores.
The four I put up are the correct answer. This conversation.
If you do say so yourself.
No, okay. It's done. I don't even think you can argue it.
Well, if Old T says it's done, it's done.
All right. Yeah. Well, we need to get ready to talk to Mike Tannenbaum. So Taush should tell us about a contest that is definitely not yet done. And that is the one with Kohler Services.
Yes, and if you think your shower sucks, you think it's ugly and stanky, well, Kohler has got you covered. Upload a photo of that stank, ugly shower to goodkarmabrands.com/WisconsinContest for a chance to win a free shower remodel. Yep, you heard me right. One lucky fan. Free shower remodel from Kohler Services, including a design consultation, demolition, and removal of your existing shower or bath. And you get that great installation of a brand new Kohler Lugstone shower. Simple to do again. All you do is upload your photo by April 30th to goodkarmabrands.com/WisconsinContest for your chance to win that beautiful new Kohler Lugstone shower.
Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN scheduled to appear next. It's ESPN. It's
ESPN Sports Center. Linda Cohn.
It's Wilty and Tesh. She's a hockey gal, rink gal. Stick around.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
We have a lot of loyal guests that come on once a year to help us out, to make us smarter. This guy's been doing it from almost the very beginning of our show, and we're always better for it. I'm not sure what he gets out of it. You know, maybe he finds us entertaining, but I don't think that's likely. From ESPN, it is Mike Tannenbaum on Wilde and Tesh. Mike, good morning. Thanks for coming back. How you doing, bud?
Good. Good to be with you guys.
I'd like to start with a question from your GM days, because Brian Gutekunst, and again, I haven't done the research on the other 31 teams and other 31 GMs, but it is remarkable what a high percentage of his draft picks or guys he picks up subsequently were guys that came in for top 30 pre-draft visits. And I'm wondering, going back to when you were a GM, how you utilized those. Were those any? Did you ever use them for subterfuge to make other teams think you were interested in someone you weren't? How did you utilize those?
Yeah, look, I think it really speaks to what, you know, Brian and Matt LaFleur have done a great job of, a very systematic process. And I know, like, us in the media make a big deal of, like, subterfuge and throwing people off. I always felt like the draft process was hard enough just to do it authentically, that I didn't really play those games. But typically you would bring guys in that you were interested in, that you had another question. It could be, you know, security, medical, question about their ability to learn, off-field issue, whatever it may be. So there's obviously significant interest. But with that said, you know, we would tell players at the combine that, hey, look, you know, if you don't hear from us, that's not necessarily a bad sign. It just means that we don't have any more questions.
Mike, has there been any, when you were going through those processes, what is that big red flag? Because I'm guessing as this has gotten more evolved, agents and their teams have gotten players really dialed into answering the questions properly. Has there been a case where you've sat down, interviewed a guy, and then said, we're not grabbing this guy? We're not going to draft, he's undraftable?
Yeah, we took quarterbacks off the board when we would show them interception plays, and they would blame the play caller or a teammate. You know, like, for quarterbacks, you want, as Coach Parcells would say, battlefield commanders, where when you're successful, you give credit, and when there's blame, it's your fault. So, you know, you look for people that are selfless, team-oriented, that, you know, want to invest in their teammates and accept blame. And you'd be surprised, especially at the quarterback position, when that doesn't happen.
What if nobody went to their birthday party? Oh, wait, that was a fictional movie. Never mind.
Good call.
Mike, when you're talking about quarterbacks, obviously the Packers a few years ago drafted Jordan Love. He sat for 3 years. Now he's going into year three. I have some questions about him. But first, how do you view this quarterback class? I'm trying to understand just how it doesn't feel like there's the same level of, we think this guy's a can't-miss type guy in this group. Do you feel the same way? How do you view the first-round quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit underrated, in my opinion. I think Cam Ward had a chance to be really good. You know, Shedeur Sanders, to me, I keep saying, I see Kirk Cousins, which is a really good quarterback who played for a long time. I think Tyler Shugg is really interesting out of Louisville. And Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. Those are my four first-round quarterbacks. So I think it's probably a little bit better than others see it as.
Well, speaking of Jordan Love, I'm curious where you see him in his development, because Tausch and I have been talking for a while now about this is such a critical year for him. He had such a great back half of 23. You can say the injuries factored in last year, the drops factored in last year, but he did not make the leap that I think everyone, including Jordan, was expecting. Where do you see him right now, this moment, and what does he have to do to elevate his game in 2025?
Yeah, I'm very bullish on him. I think he has a chance to be a superstar. Look, he has to clean up, you know, a handful of plays a game, which candidly every quarterback does. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes with experience, or knowing that, hey, we have a really good defense, and, you know, checking the ball down here is good. You know, he does have a lot of confidence in his arm. You watch him play, that's pretty apparent. I'm very high on him, very bullish about his future.
Mike, how do you look at this receiving core? Because from the Packers standpoint, and then also this draft class of wideouts, because that is what our fans have been asking and they want. But when you're picking up wideouts, do you try to stagger it where you don't have – there's so much in year four and year three, you have decisions you have to make. And when guys maybe don't make that jump, how do you evaluate where Green Bay's at the wide receiver spot?
Yeah, you know, I've always liked it. You know, when you look at Reed, Dobbs, and Watson, you know, look, they have different skill sets. You throw in the tight ends. Like, I think it's a good group. I know there's no dominant difference-making one, but I like it. You know, you want to throw the ball to the open guy. Let your quarterback play point guard. I wouldn't be surprised, like what they typically do, at a second-round receiver, maybe in the third. So, look, would you love to have a number one difference maker? Of course you would, but I don't think there's many teams that you would say, wow, we take that group of receivers over Green Bay's.
What about the way, and Tausch mentioned this, Mike, but what about the way Goody has kind of stacked roster spots with multiple picks in the same drafts, right? Like, if we look at the Packers' offensive line, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, and Sean Ryan are all in the last year of their deals. At wide receiver, Watson and Dobbs are in their last year of their deal. This year, next year, Reed and Wicks will be in the last year of their deals. When you're trying to build a roster, does that matter? Because it does feel like you're putting yourself in a position where you got a lot of guys in one spot. You got to figure out what you want to do with them. And when they play a lot, you'd like to think you got enough information. But like Tausch kind of said there, I'm not sure that Goody has sufficient information to know who he really wants to keep and who he's willing to let walk.
Yeah, look, in a cap system, you can't pay them all. I think they've done a pretty good job, though, of identifying – core guys and keeping them. You know, Aaron Jones left, obviously. Certainly seems like Jair Alexander is going to be on his way out. But I think over the course of time, they've done a pretty good job of retaining their own. And look, in the cap system, guys, some of them are going to graduate. That's just part of the math. But I think, do I think they're going to add a receiver, an offensive lineman, and a corner at some point? Absolutely. You know, the other thing is because they've had such great, you know, productive drafts, you could go out and get a Xavier McKinney and be opportunistic. And there's a lot of teams like the Dallas Cowboys that just haven't been afforded that luxury.
Mike, you just mentioned Jair. How would you as a GM handle this situation where last year he was playing and he got hurt and was unable to get back out there? There's no roster bonus that kind of spurs this on. And there's no trade, at least it doesn't feel like, that makes it worthwhile for Green Bay to do it. How long do you keep a guy on a roster, even though you probably know he's not going to be at fall camp? How do you approach that if you're a GM?
Yeah, ideally, you know, I think you'll see this around the league, guys. Like, this is, you know, the draft. You want to kind of clean things up. So I would think next week would be a good time for that to bring, you know, closure, and hopefully, you know, he gets someplace he wants to be. Green Bay gets, you know, relatively decent value, and you get closure to it.
All right. Before I let you go, Mike, the Pittsburgh Steelers situation with Aaron Rodgers, you had a similar situation when, you know, with Favre. Now this is obviously a little bit unique in the fact you don't know if he's going to play for you. You have the draft coming. You don't want to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback. What are you doing if you're Pittsburgh and you're in this situation?
Yeah, we just talked about for 2 hours on Get Up. You got to go get a guy. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is telling you a lot by not signing him by now. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they were a little bit aggressive in the draft and go get Shador Sanders if he's there, or, you know, Jackson Dart. I'm just hard pressed to think that they're going to pay $30 million a year, give up a second round pick for DK Metcalf, and have Mason Rudolph be their open day quarterback.
All right, Mike, along those lines before you go, Tausch's dad used to always say, talent outs. So is Aaron Rodgers still at a place as a player? You watched him last year when he was back from the Achilles. Is he still at a place where talent outs and you're willing as a GM to tolerate the uncertainty or the waiting or him hoping that J.J. McCarthy falls flat on his face and he can go to Minnesota instead? Like, is he good enough that the Steelers should wait for him or not?
We're getting close to that point where I don't think so. You know, 42 years old, he played well, not great. You know, if his last name was Smith or Jones, we probably would have said, hey, let's move on. You give the benefit of the doubt to, obviously, an all-time great player. But he's close to the end.
Yeah. Well, if his name was Tauscher, we definitely would have moved on. Mike, we appreciate your time. You're the best, man.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN. I am fascinated by, and I'm glad you asked. I would love to know what the conversations are inside of the Steelers headquarters. And I would love to know what Mike Tomlin is saying privately about this. Because you always bring a line about, I want volunteers, not hostages.
Well, that's Mike Tomlin's line.
Right.
And steal it from him.
I understand. And what is Aaron Rodgers? He's neither. He's not stuck in the building, and he's not volunteering to come into the building. So what is he?
I just wonder if it's a case where he's looking at it and saying, I don't want to be a lame duck one-year guy, at least not here. I think in Minnesota he feels great about that. That was reported last week that's the, I guess, pitch that his team gave to Minnesota. I think in Pittsburgh, if he's going to do this, I'm guessing he's going to commit to a couple of years. And I think he just doesn't want to be in a situation where he commits and they trade up to get Shador Sanders and he knows, all right, here I go again. I think that is probably a part of it. And then I wonder, too, how much of it does he think that this team can win? Because he's not coming back for money. He's not coming back for anything but winning. And if he doesn't feel like he is going to be on a team that can win at all, I wonder how much he wants to play. I'm guessing those are the conversations that he's having. I don't know what Pittsburgh's conversations are.
I still believe he will play in the NFL this year, but we will not spend any more time talking about him because I can feel the frustration in the YouTube comments. Instead, we'll talk about the latest sale going on at Steinhoffels.
You think Jason, we could tease this out. I want you to get to your Steinhoffels, but do you think Packer fans love the fact that Jordan Love is no drama? I like a little drama. I'm not going to lie to you. I know you do.
As a radio host,
there will
you
be
like
a time
it that
Jordan Love has drama. As a teammate, I want my quarterback to be a star. I want him to be a great teammate, but I want him to be a star, too. All right, Steiny.
I want my quarterback to be well rested, and he will be if he gets a Beautyrest black mattress at Steinhoffels. Beautyrest black mattresses use sleep climate technology that transfers heat away from the body and triple-stranded pocketed coil technology. I knew I was going to mess that up. To give you the most advanced support system in a mattress. Right now, the new Beautyrest Black is only $42 a month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. Plus, you'll get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. So shop in-store or online. Take the drama out of finding your new mattress and go to Steinhoffel's for the Beautyrest Black. Check it out at steinhoffels.com as well. Tausch wants drama? That seems like an interesting thought. We'll explore that more next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Brewers baseball is back.
Bunting it up the first baseline. It's a good bunt. Racing home is done. He will score. Bryce Terang gets the job done.
Hear the sound of summer right here on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories.
I'm very bullish on him. I think he has a chance to be a superstar. Look, he has to clean up a handful of plays a game, which candidly every quarterback does. But I think that comes with experience or knowing that, hey, we have a really good defense and, you know, checking the ball down here is good. You know, he does have a lot of confidence in his arm. You watch him play, that's pretty apparent. I'm very high on him, very bullish about his future.
That is Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN talking about Jordan Love, the Packers' starting quarterback. Tausch, are you as bullish on Jordan, or have you become less bullish in the aftermath of last season?
I would say I wouldn't go to the lengths that Mike just did. I want to see more consistency from Jordan. I think we've seen enough to know that he is going to be a really good quarterback. Have we seen, and what separates the really good from the great are making the big plays late in games. He's shown us flashes of that as well. But what we didn't see last year, and again, you can make excuses and you can say, well, these are just facts. He was not healthy for a vast majority of last season. He fought his way back on the field when he probably shouldn't have, and he was not able to do a lot with his legs, and that is a part of his game that I think last year was not there. But he was not consistent enough for four quarters. I continue to just come back to this. I don't care which game it was. It didn't feel like there was one game you walked out of Lambeau or you're doing a post-game show, and it's like, man, that was a great four quarters of football by this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it at all. And that, I know football is a game where, you know, some days you just don't have it. But there are some days that you do. And I just felt like whatever game, New Orleans, where it was a rout, there were still some choppy parts of the game or penalties. And I come back to what LaFleur said at the end of the season where sloppy. Quarterback isn't responsible for everything. Quarterback is responsible to make sure everybody knows what they're doing and gets things rolling. And when things are sloppy, you pull people out of it. And I think Jordan Love has to take another step this season in that regard. To be a superstar, you got to play big in the biggest moments. And I thought that that was the case coming into this last season. And I think if we're being honest about what we saw last year, we saw a player that showed some really good signs, again, of doing what we saw at the end of last season or two seasons ago, but just not on a consistent basis this last year. There are reasons for that. So I do believe he is going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Do I think right now that he has the same attributes that I don't think we should compare him any way, shape, or form to Aaron Rodgers. I don't. I think he's going to go on his pace, and I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. Is he going to be to the level where Aaron was in his heyday, where he's winning MVPs? I need to see more before I would say that.
So I'm glad you brought up the injuries, because Gabe Neitzel said something interesting on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, because we were talking about this. We were talking about this article or this ranking that has the Packers as the 7th best roster in the NFL, which we're going to talk about in the 10 o'clock hour as well. But we started talking about Jordan Love, and I mentioned the injuries and saying, you know, it clearly affected him. And Gabe made what I thought was a really smart point, and that is, welcome to the NFL and playing quarterback. And it is a process of learning how to play through injuries, but you played with two guys who played through a hell of a lot, right? I mean, Rodgers obviously couldn't play through the broken collarbones, but we remember that game in 08 against Atlanta where he had to go down to the Hudson Center and throw and show that he could throw with a partially dislocated throwing shoulder. We remember in 2018, was it 2018, when he, in the opener, cracked the tibial plateau in his knee, played the rest of the season with a fracture in his knee, didn't miss a game. He played with a broken thumb in 2022, and no one seemed to really give him much credit for that, even though Favre got a lot of credit for doing it when he did it. We know what Favre did, how many times he played injured. I think it was your rookie year in 2000 where he jacked up his ankle really badly and Matt Hasselbeck had to go in. And you did not think there was any way he was going to play the following week, and he did. So how much grace do we give Jordan Love's performance last year for the MCL and for the groin injury, and how much of it is, okay, lots of guys have to play hurt at your position. You got to be better than what you were.
I mean, I think the bottom line, and I've said this numerous times, that nobody cares. Like, I want my guys to go out and compete. I give Marco Rivera a ton of admiration because I saw what he, how he had to get off the mat with knees and other things to get out and play. And it was never going to be, well, Marco's knee's bad, he didn't play as well. We all understood maybe it wasn't going to be as clean, but you step out on the field, you got to perform. And I admire how Jordan came back from that MCL after 2 weeks and got out there. But his performance, were people giving him grace when it was 28-0 against Minnesota? There are a lot of boos. Because in the grand scheme of things, you got to perform. That's what it's about. So I love the fact that he's tough and that he gets out there. And there's no doubt that affected his play in the beginning part of last season. There's no doubt. The turnovers and some of the other things, maybe he couldn't avoid like he normally could because he was a step or two slower, and that led to some really bad decisions. You didn't see a lot of the bad decisions late in the season. So I give a lot of grace, but I also am saying, all right, I think maybe we crowned a little too early, and now we see the expectations are going to be lower, I believe, for Jordan than they were last year, which is crazy to say. I think the pressure is going to be higher, but I think right now there are a lot of people sleeping on this Green Bay Packer team as we sit here today.
We'll talk about this Green Bay Packers roster and whether it is indeed the seventh best roster in the league, according to The Athletic, which did some number crunching.
Dane Brugler. Is it Brugs?
Austin Mock, not Dane Brugler on this.
How is Austin Mock not doing mock drafts?
Like, what is
he doing? What is he doing a week before the draft talking about team rosters? He should be all over the draft with a name like Mock.
Well, he's using the expected margin of victory model to project the quality of each of the 32 rosters.
EMOP.
They have XMOV, so I don't know. They don't like the E.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I expect us to discuss this to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and I expect that to happen in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.